Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. And immediately in the morning the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And answering, he said to him, "You say it." And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against you." But Jesus still answering nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast he released of them one prisoner whom they desired, and there was one named Barabbas bound with those who had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude crying aloud began to ask him to do as he had always done to them. But Pilate answered them and said, "Do you desire that I release to you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him because of envy. But the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas to them. And Pilate answered and said again to them, "What then do you desire that I should do to him whom you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why? What evil has he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And Pilate, willing to please the people, released Barabbas to them, and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away to the hall of the governor's palace, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him in purple, and plaited a crown of thorns, and put it upon his head. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him on the head with a reed, and spat upon him, and bowing their knees, they worshipped him. When they had mocked him, they took the purple off him and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. And they made one who was passing by, Simon a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is, being interpreted, the place of a skull. And they gave him wine mixed with myrrh to drink, but he did not receive it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots upon them, as to what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written over him, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand, and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And those who passed by railed upon him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking with the scribes, said to one another, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let Christ, the King of Israel, now descend from the cross, so that we may see and believe." And they who were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of those who stood by when they heard it said, "Behold, he calls Elijah." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, and put it upon a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see if Elijah comes down to take him. And Jesus cried with a loud voice, and gave up the spirit, and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood across from him saw that he cried out so, and gave up the spirit, he said, Truly, this man was the Son of God. And there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered to him, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And now when the evening had come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, who also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly to Pilate, and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate wondered if he were already dead. And calling the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead very long. And when he knew it from the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a tomb, which was cut out of a rock. And he rolled a stone to the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid.
Lesson 43, Jesus is crucified. In today's lesson, we will see Jesus tried, condemned, beaten, mocked, crucified, and buried. The scene is filled with the darkness and depravity of man at his worst. In contrast, we have the light and hope seen in the voluntary surrender of Jesus to the torture and pain inflicted by both man and God in order to take away our sin. When Jesus was brought before Pilate, the Roman governor, he questioned whether Jesus was a king, but was amazed when Jesus remained quiet while all his enemies made accusations against him. Pilate perceived that the Jews were handing Jesus over, not for any particular crime he had done, but because of envy, and so Pilate wanted to let Jesus go. He offered to release one prisoner to them, as was the custom at the feast time. He offered to them Barabbas, who was a notorious murderer, or Jesus, whom they accused of being a self-appointed king. The people cried out for Barabbas, showing Pilate just how much they hated Jesus. When the people were creating an uproar and shouting for the crucifixion of Jesus, Pilate finally gave in to their cries, since he wanted to please the crowd. He ordered Jesus to be beaten and then sentenced him to be crucified. The soldiers beat Jesus mercilessly, ripping his flesh open on his back and putting a crown of thorns on his head, beating him in the face and striking him with their fists and with a rod. The soldiers also mocked him as they carried out their cruel beating. When they took Jesus outside the city to Mount Calvary, they crucified him between two thieves. As he hung on the cross in agony and shame, the people reviled him. Even the thieves who were being crucified also reviled him. Some of the people were challenging Jesus to save himself and come down from the cross, and the priests and scribes mocked him, saying, He saved others, but himself he cannot save. The insidious hatred, torture, and mockery is hard to understand when we see Jesus bleeding in utter agony upon the cross, with nails through his hands and feet. How could people be so utterly wicked, especially when we consider that Jesus had done nothing wrong, and in fact was well known to all as a miracle worker who healed countless people? It makes no sense at all except when we understand that Satan was driving these sinners in their mad rage against God's Son. From noon to 3 p.m. a darkness fell upon the whole land. Then Jesus cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" They offered him some sour wine before he gave a loud cry and breathed his last. At that moment the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and an earthquake shook the earth. When the centurion who was standing near the cross saw the way Jesus died, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." Some of the women who had ministered to Jesus were standing at a distance watching the horror of this evil execution. A man named Joseph of Arimathea honored Jesus by asking permission to take his body and bury it. He collected Jesus' body from the cross, wrapped it in clean linen cloths, and put him in a tomb not far from the city. Joseph had made his tomb for himself, and it was cut from stone. He sealed the tomb with a large stone that was rolled over the mouth of the tomb. Again, we see some women watching carefully where the body of Jesus was buried. If the story of the crucifixion of Jesus were to end with his burial, what a sad page in history it would be. How empty of all hope for mankind. Unfortunately, man has not changed over the many centuries since that day Jesus was crucified. Men today murder, steal, rape, lie, commit every form of wickedness. The heart of man is desperately wicked. Man was at his worst when Jesus was taken by wicked hands and put to death. Jesus only offered God's love, goodness, and his truth and righteousness. Men rejected Jesus and spat in God's face. With this in mind, we can appreciate that man deserves the most severe judgment from God. If we had what we deserve, we would all end up suffering eternally in the fires of hell. However, God's love is greater and higher than all of our wickedness and sin. God is able to rescue us from our sins, from the judgment we deserve, from the torments of the lake of fire. How can God rescue us? Ironically, God rescues us through the cross. That which was the worst crime ever committed by man against his God turns into the greatest gift ever given by God to man. Jesus was not simply put to death by wicked men. He was judged by God for our sins. While Jesus hung that day and endured the hatred, scorn, the pain, and vileness of men's cruelty, he was also enduring a judgment that we can hardly comprehend. He was also suffering the wrath of God against all of man's sin. Here was more than courage, more than kindness, more than benevolence. Here was love beyond comprehension, immeasurable grace, a gift of infinite value. As you consider what Jesus did on the cross to save your soul, I pray the Holy Spirit will give you understanding and convict you of your sinful condition before God. I pray today you will surrender your life to Christ in faith and find the gift of eternal life. Jesus suffered and died to bring you the gift of eternal life because of his great love for you. Will you receive that gift today? But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8.
But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. And now I am happy all the day. Oh,
And now for today's Bible question. Today we have been learning about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We saw how men did their worst to him by instigating the most torturous suffering and death. In the midst of this coalition of evil, there are some disciples disillusioned by the sight of their Lord and Master dying on a cross, and one kind man who cares for the body of Jesus and buries him in his own tomb. Someone might ask the question, why did Jesus have to die? I hope you understand that Jesus did have to die upon the cross, but perhaps you do not understand why it was necessary for him to die. Let us think about what the Bible teaches on this most important subject. Firstly, we read that Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. This verse teaches us that it was God's plan from before the creation of the world to send Jesus as our Lamb to die. God knew that man, whom he would create, would sin against him. Because God loved mankind and did not want to send man into eternal judgment in hell, he planned a way to redeem us back to himself, and that was through the death of Jesus. In the Old Testament, we learn that God is not satisfied with any payment for sin, except if an innocent victim is killed to cover the sin. And that is why we read, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. God had given the nation of Israel the practice of animal sacrifices to teach them and us the need for an innocent victim to die to pay for the penalty of sin. The trouble is that all the blood that was shed from innocent animals never removed any sins. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. The sacrifice of animals was only a means to teach us about our need to pay for sin, but those sacrifices could never satisfy God and could not remove any sins. God accepted the offerings made in faith as an atonement, which means a covering for sin, but that did not remove the sin, it just covered it until Christ came. When Jesus, the Lamb of God, died upon the cross, he was the perfect, innocent sacrifice that satisfied all of God's requirements to pay for our sins. Jesus was a sinless man, and that is what God required to put away our sins. Jesus never died for any sins of his own, for he was perfectly sinless, and that is the only way that our sins can be removed. There is no other person and no other way that could be found that would remove the guilt of sin from mankind, except for Jesus Christ, the perfect sinless man, to be our sacrificial lamb. People want to try so many ways to reach God, to have their sins removed and to make it into heaven. But God has provided only one way of salvation. If you are trying to earn heaven through your own good works or through your religious efforts, then you are not accepting God's way. Nothing you could ever do would even pay for one sin. The debt must be paid, and the only one with sufficient payment is Jesus. You must place your trust in his death as the payment God requires for your sin. Apart from this, a person cannot be saved and go to heaven. So the reason Jesus had to die was so that you and I could have our sins forgiven. We could receive eternal life and have a home in heaven. This was the only way that God was able to satisfy his own righteous requirements for man to be free from the penalty of sin. If you want to go to heaven, you have to be sure your sins have been dealt with at the cross. Asking Jesus to forgive your sins is to acknowledge by faith that he has paid for the debt of your sins. If you come to Jesus in faith, you should be very grateful that he is willing to die and suffer in your place and to pay your debt. When a person comes to Jesus in faith, often there is an outpouring of emotions because they realize how wicked a sinner they are and how unworthy they are of God's love and salvation. They will feel humble and sad, but then they will also realize that God loved them so much and that he is willing to forgive them and to accept them as his own child. This gives the person a sense of peace and joy that the world knows nothing about. I am so glad that God saved my soul when I accepted the death of Jesus upon the cross as payment for my sin and asked him to be my Savior. Why not ask him to save your soul today and thank him for dying on the cross for you? Remember, no one will ever get into heaven without accepting Jesus' death as the full payment for their sin. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.bibleassemblychurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student.
Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the home of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Unto grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be.
If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number six, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
Many times I've wondered at your gift of life. I'm in that place.